Good morning. Today's daf is daf chaf in Avodah Zarah. We're starting at the right before the Mishnah on Yetzer Hara Beis. We're going to start Higel Kippa, which is about 15 lines from the top of the from the bottom of the Amud. Higel Kippa, Malkam Shem Meidim Bo Avodah Zarah. We're talking about building a bathhouse for an idolater. The Mishnah over there expressed a permissibility to build a bathhouse. The bathhouse is not a makam of Avodah Zarah, it's not a place of Avodah Zarah, and so therefore you're contracted to build a bathhouse, that's fine, that's not a problem whatsoever. However, what happens is that on the top of every bathhouse they put a statue. Right? Reports I heard is that they build a statue of Aphrodite on the top of the bathhouse. So, you can't build the top. In other words, in the contract, you have to write, I'll build the whole bathhouse for you and everything, but I can't build the top because it's a statue. And not only can you not build the top, but the Mishnah says, you get to the dome, the base, where they're going to put the statue right on it, you can't build that as well. That's a base for Avodah Zarah, you can't build that. Okay, it's hard to figure out exactly, if the whole bathhouse is going to end up supporting the statue. I mean, you could make the argument that the whole bathhouse is not permitted, but obviously that's not the argument. The Gemara doesn't make such an argument. The bathhouse is viewed as for its utilitary purpose. So, but the kippa, but the dome, you can't do. You can't build for the bathhouse. And then the Mishnah said, "Igil kippa, makom shemaidim bo'avodas kochavim." Once you get there, you can't build it. Then now the Gemara says, "Amar Avolaz, Amar Rav Yochanan." Okay, so we start with the Gemara. Imbanas charamota. What if you do it? Okay, so you shouldn't. Lechatchila, you absolutely shouldn't. But what if you did? So can you walk away with the money? Can you get paid? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's okay. Getting paid would be fine. Pshita, the Gemara says, now that seems to be obvious. Misham she'avodos kochavim heim, misham she'avodos kochavim, bein l'Rabbi Yishmael, bein l'Rabbi Kiva, ina asur ma'ad she'avodim. This is now tashmishi avodah zarah. Things that are used to accessorize for avodah zarah itself. Now, when it comes to avodah zarah itself, avodah zarah obviously is prohibited. Money in exchange for avodah zarah also obviously is prohibited. Now, later on in the Masechta, Daf Nun and Aleph, we're going to talk about when does the Avodah Zarah actually become prohibited. Subject to a machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Now, we're not going to go through the machlokas right now, the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel, but right now, just suffice to know that that's subject to a machlokas. Okay? Now, when it comes to Tashmishi Avodah Zarah, accessories for Avodah Zarah, that's a no-brainer. Meaning, everybody agrees that it doesn't get its designation as Tashmishi Avodah Zarah until it's actually used by Avodah Zarah itself, subject to a debate between Rabbi Kiva and Reish Shmuel. But Tashmishi Avodah Zarah until it's actually used. So, the Gemara therefore said, Misham Shei Avodah Kochavim, Misham Shei Avodah Kochavim, Bein L'Rabbi Shmuel, Bein L'Rabbi Kiva, Einam Asurim Achi Avodu, and not until it's actually used. Am Rabbi Yirmiyahu L'Nitzrucha El Avodah Kochavim Atzma. So now, the Gemara says like this. Rav Lazar says that you can walk away with the money even after you built it, even if you built the statue. Okay, now that's an unbelievable chiddush. So you built the statue, right? You built the Avodah Zarah, and the money is fine, and you can walk away with the money. Now that sounds unbelievable. So now hani chalaman damar avodas kochavim sheyisrael asur miyavishal avodas kochavim ashe te'avei shapir. If you subscribe to Rabbi Shmuel's viewpoint, which again now is not the time to discuss how we arrived at these conclusions. Later we'll discuss it. But Rabbi Shmuel says that when it comes to the Avodah Zarah of an idolater, it doesn't receive its designation as Avodah Zarah until it's actually worshipped. Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. So good. So what did you do? You built a statue. It's not yet Avodah Zarah. Again, all this whole Gemara, it's a strange Gemara, but this whole Gemara is not saying you're allowed to do it. The Gemara is not condoning the practice. The Gemara over here is just simply discussing, what if you did, can you walk away with the money? The money that you earned building it, can you walk away with the money? So if you're Rabbi Yishmael, yeah, I could see it. I could see how you could walk away with the money. Because Rabbi Yishmael says that it's a statue right now, it's not a Avodah Zarah. And it won't be a Avodah Zarah until the idolater actually worships the idol. So,
they're going to know that they're
going to
do it.
Fine. And again, the Gemara is not condoning it's doing this. The Gemara is just simply saying, is the money okay? So if you're Rabbi Shmuel Shapir, it's fine. I understand this halacha of Rabbi Lazar quoting in the name of Yochanan. But if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says that the statue becomes Avodah Zarah the moment it's built, even before it's worshipped, it is Avodah Zarah. So according to Rabbi Akiva, how did you do that? How did you build the statue, an idol, take the money and walk away with the money? The money is in lieu for an Avodah Zarah. It's unfathomable. How did that happen? So the Gemara offers the following argument. It says, you're a contractor. You're building. So even according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not an Avodah Zarah until it's finished. Well, when is it finished? With that final hammer blow. With that final hammer blow, it's finished. Man kagamla gemar malacha, the emas havi gemar malacha ben makush acharon. And the Gemara says it's only with that final hammer blow. Now makush acharon leis bashav apruta. That final hammer blow. In other words, if we were to take his labor and subdivide it into this hour, and take every hour and further subdivide into this minute of work and this minute of work, so that final hammer blow, if we were just to look at that one moment, is not Shavapruta, its value is not Shavapruta. And so therefore, yes, it's true that with that final hammer blow, now it's an Avodah Zarah. And yes, it's true that for that final hammer blow, you are collecting a little bit of money for Avodah Zarah, but it's not a Shavapruta. And the Gemara's argument is, Amaka Savar, Yeshno Tzchiros Mitzchila V'Yatsof. You're a contractor, and this is subject to a debate, but right now we're going to take one position on the debate, and that is contractors get paid incrementally over the course of their work. It's not accrued at the end, but I'm sorry, it's not left to the end, but rather it's accrued incrementally over the course of the labor. Consequently, we view every blow with the hammer, every act of labor as a separate act in of itself. And that's why you can walk away with the money, because with that final hammer blow, then and only then is that Avodah Zarah. Now, okay, there's a lot going on here in this Gemara. It's rather unbelievable. And again, I think I've said this already a couple times, Gemara's not condoning making the statue, making the idol. It's just simply saying that if you did that, we can construct an argument as to why the money would be okay. Even the Gemara's conclusion is a little bit strange. The Gemara says, look, it's just a little bit of Avodah Zarah, so that's okay.
Is this how we hold, or do we hold like Rabbi Akiva?
We hold like Rabbi Akiva, but even within Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara has argued that you can walk away with the money. So let me just wrap up this discussion. A lot going on today. A lot to look forward to today. But even in this discussion, the Gemara's conclusion is it's just a little bit of Avodah Zarah. It's less than a Shavapruta. Okay, you can walk away with the money. Like Tosos is also bothered even by the conclusion. One of the middle Tosos, Makush Achron Leis Be Shavapruta. Second last Tosos on the page. The Im Tamar, Mikama Kamalo, Uasa Leanos, Midme Avodos Kochavim, Mafil Papachos, Mishavapruta. Okay, so it's only a little bit. It's less than a Shavapruta. So what? Tosos says, you still have, in other words, you got the paycheck at the end. And you can look, and as a Schir, you can look at the paycheck and say, well, most of it was for building the statue, and it wasn't yet an idol. So that money is fine. And that last blow that I hit it. Okay, so you see the pennies at the end of the paycheck that I got. Okay, so those pennies represent it. Tosfos says, still, right, the money in your hand, some of it is Dmei Avodah Zarah. The Inkein Nimsa Iser Me'uvrav B'Scharo. And there's a tarovis, there's a mixture. And one of the things we'll be learning throughout the Masechta is that in a tarovis of Avodah Zarah, there's no bittul. There's no nullification. So Tosfos says even the conclusion's a little bit strange. And the Yesh Lamer came into Bishol Makos Ha'achron, lo hayao v'kochav, and nosem mimenu mischiraso pachos, im kein ein lo alav schar, vos kochav v'klau. So Tosfos makes an argument, well, let's say you didn't do that final hammer blow. He still would have paid you. So, right? I know that. But I understand why he gets there. The reason why we're here, I totally get. Right, he's backed up against the wall. So he says, so if you didn't hit that final hammer blow, he would have paid you anyway. So we could say, I mean, Tosfos is saying this, it's negligible. It's totally negligible, that last hammer blow that you hit. Now, again, you know, he realizes, he recognizes the difficulty in the argument. Because elsewhere in Sanhedrin, we talked about how when they steal from one another, even if it's less than a Shava Pruta, they're usually makpid. And over here, as a contractor, for that last hammer blow, you know what? It looks fine. it's okay. And so, okay, so that's how Tosfos is trying to figure out how it is, even with a little bit of Demei Avodah Zarah, it's still okay. And so therefore, he offers that as a possibility.
What does the Gemara mean when it says, Avodah Kochavim Shel Yisrael?
No, it means an idol that we constructed. In other words, again, Nun Aleph, we'll talk about it. To Machlokshin, Rabbi Kivin and Rabbi Shmuel, when exactly the idol becomes Avodah Zarah. Okay, it's... All right.
Is it less important because it's on a bathhouse and it's not an idol that people go
But it, it, it's an it's nevertheless, it's an idol. Meaning, whether, right, whether they serve it or not, it's an idol... Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion, yeah, it's only when they start actually praying to it that becomes Avodah Zarah, but Rabbi Kiva says, no. The moment it's constructed, it is Avodah Zarah, regardless of when they actually start bowing down to it. The new Mishnah notes in Tachshit and Avodah Kochavim Kalos and Zam and Tabaos, Rabbi Lazar Omer B'Schar Mutar. The first line of this Mishnah is just, it's difficult, right? The Tanakhama's position is to make jewelry for idolaters, that's not permissible. You can't make rings, necklaces, any jewelry you can't make for an idolater. And Rabbi Lazar says, well, it depends. If you get paid, it's okay. Right? It sounds like, right, Rabbi Lazar's position, if you get paid, it's okay. Well, where does that come from? And so there's a lot on this first line of the Mishnah. First of all, Tosfos makes the argument, Rashi didn't even have the girsa. Like, this whole girsa Rashi didn't have. Right, there's a lot of good evidence that that's true. First of all, Rashi doesn't comment on the Mishnah at all. So, by Rashi's silence, I don't know what you could walk away from it. But as we're about to go into the Gemara in just a moment, you'll see the Gemara does not acknowledge this line of the Mishnah. Doesn't even acknowledge it. It wouldn't be the first time that happened. That the Mishnah says something and the Gemara doesn't acknowledge it.
Such a controversial statement.
Correct, correct. All right, so, but it's true though. In other words, we'll see the Gemara. The Gemara just doesn't even breathe a word about this line of the Mishnah. So Tosfos' argument is, this line of Mishnah didn't exist. The Vilna Gaon supports that as well. The Vilna Gaon in his Hagos to the Gemara says, Kol Zeh Nimchak. Like, just take this whole line of the Mishnah out. It doesn't belong.
So and it's on
Yerushalmi. Right. And the obvious question is really on Rebbe Eliezer, meaning that we know Rebbe Eliezer sometimes says controversial things in the Gemara, but they're supportable. There's a basis to it. Over here to say, I can make jewelry for idolaters, as long as they get paid, it's okay. Why in the world would it be okay? Just because you got paid? It's difficult to understand, it's difficult to process. So, okay, that's the first line of the Mishnah. The next line of the Mishnah is where really what the rest of today's daf is going to be predicated on is big topic. Ein mochrin lahem b'mechubah l'karka. You can't sell them property. Now the Mishnah doesn't say in Israel, but for now, from this point forward, we're going to assume this prohibition is in Israel. Okay, much to discuss. Right, we'll get it going. Ein mochrin lahem b'mechubah l'karka. V'mochru mishikatzes. If you cut a tree down. You can sell them wood, right? Lumber is fine. You just can't sell them property. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you want to sell them a tree, even though the tree right now is in the ground, but in the sale you stipulate we're cutting it down, so that you're allowed to do. But the tree, as it's connected to the ground, you cannot sell because that's karka. That's selling them property.
When we learn all those laws of sales of land and tree in Baal Bastar,
right? Right, we talked about how it has to be three trees and a certain...
The minimum and everything.
Correct. So, over here...
Do those rules apply when you have a sale to somebody who's like
Right. In other words, here the Gemara, the Mishnah sounds like one tree connected to the ground, and that's property, and that you can't sell them. Right. And you're right. Baba Basra, we were talking about how it has to be three trees within a certain proximity of one another. You're right.
What's her view? I didn't think you could sell things almanac
that the buyer does. Right. I mean, a sale is a sale, but no, but you could for sure, thank you so much, you could for sure throw a condition into a sale.
And if he doesn't meet the condition,
So then.
It's like the tapes that I have in the
Shabbos.
Right.
The language, because
it doesn't really work.
Right. I understand. It's a little difficult. So here we go. Now, I'm going to set us up for a Tosos that we're going to do in a couple minutes from now. But let's just understand. All the action of today's daf really revolves around a set of psukim in Parshas Ve'eschanan. Perek Zayin, the beginning of Perek Zayin in Parshas Ve'eschanan, talks about what's going to happen when we go into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so just indulge me for a moment. It really sets the backdrop to this whole discussion. Beginning psukim of Perek Zayin. You're going to go into the land of Israel, and you're going to move people around, and they are Chiti, Girgashi, Amori, Aknini, Aknani, Aprizi, Achivi, Hayavusi, Shiva Goyim, Rabim, VaAsumi, Mimeka. Seven nations, and they're pretty tough. Unisana, Hashem Elokecha, Lefanecha, VeIkisam, Hacharim, Tacharim, Osam. So your job is you're going to go in, you're going to do battle, you're going to destroy. And you cannot make any type of treaty with them. And lo sichanem. And you can't do this lo sichanem, which is what we're going to be discussing about for the good part of today's daf. Okay? English translation, show them favor. Okay, well, yeah. Lo sichatein bam, you can't marry them. Bitcha lo sitein livno, vito lo sikach livnecha. You can't give your daughter to their son, their son to your daughter. Because what they're going to do is they're going to lead you to their avodah zarah v'charaf Hashem b'chem v'hishmidcha maher. Kim kota asu lahem. This is what you do. Mizbechoseim toti totsu umasev osam tishaberu v'ashereim tigadeyun uftileim tisrefun beish. You take their avodah zarah and you destroy it. You obliterate it. Ki am kadosh atal Hashem lokecha v'chabar shabachar Hashem lokecha liyos lo alam segula mikol amim asher al pnei adama. Okay. Now, as I just read to you the psukim, it seems abundantly clear and obvious that contextually the psukim are talking about the seven nations, right? Okay. Absolutely. Right. And so keep that in mind, because Tosus later on is going to approach that topic, and we're gonna discuss that. Okay. In the meantime, top of Chaf Amud Aleph. Amakra lo sechanim lo sitem lahem chania bekarka. So number one, don't write no parking spots.
Right? No reserve parking.
No parking. Okay. Now you can't sell them land. Okay. That's number one. Okay. Hi lo. Lo titen lahem chania bekarka. Hai lo sechanam mi baile dehachi kamar rachman lo titen lahem chain. So the Gemara says, wait a second. There's another halacha that we learned out, and that is you're not allowed to show them any type of favor, which we'll see later on this morning means something like you can't even pay them a compliment. Okay? Imke lemakra lo sechunam. My lo sechanem shema min atarte. Now, we are heavy in diktuk right now in terms of what the Torah should have said, because the Torah didn't say that, so now we have a right to make two drashas out of this pasuk. I'm not a diktuk person, so I don't fully appreciate and understand how, because it could have said it this way and rather it said this way, so therefore two drashas emerge. Now, Rashi does try to help me understand, but still, I don't feel like I know enough diktuk to really to legitimately explain how this works. The Gemara says there's a third halacha that we get out from this pasuk, which is that you're not allowed to give them gifts. So there, if the Torah just wanted to refer to the gift, it would have said lo sechinam. My lo sechanem shma minakulu. So because the Torah said lo sechanem, and because the Torah could have written it in two different permutations and opted not to, so therefore we have now three halachas that are generated from this pasuk.
Because it's so vague in general.
Right. So we have, and our three halachas are, number one, you can't sell them property. Number two, you can't compliment or pay them any type of favor or show them any favor. And three, you can't give them a gift. Okay. Those are three halachas that we learned. Tanya Namihachi, the Brisa supports this as well. As first presented us to us, it was said in the name of Yossi Rabbi Chanina. We have a Brisa, Lo Sechaneim. Number one, Lo Titen Laim Chaniya Bekarka, Davar Acha Lo Sechaneim. Number two, Lo Titen Laim Chain, Davar Acha Lo Sechaneim. Number three, Lo Titen Laim Matnat Chinam. You can't give him a gift. Okay, good. So the Brisa, just like we did, learns out that there are three prohibitions that are generated from this Pasuk. Okay. Tosos. Let's take a look at the top Tosos on the page. Okay, and Tosos is bothered by the following. Look, who are we talking about right now? Right? In the context of our Mishnah says you can't sell them property. Doesn't sound like from the Mishnah we're talking about the seven nations. In other words, if we just looked at the Mishnah, contextually speaking, I mean, through this parak, we have not uttered one word throughout the entire first parak about seven nations.
Why would you think you could sell
the
seven nations?
After you drove them out, after you killed, right?
Right.
Okay, fine. So I'm just setting us up for Tosfos. Hopefully for success, but I'm setting us up for Tosfos. Right? It sounds like from the Mishnah that this prohibition of not selling property is directed to all idolaters. There's no reason in the Mishnayos why I would have thought otherwise. However, as I read to you the Psukim, there's every indication from the Psukim that we're talking about the seven nations. So, the whole Pasuk is talking about, here's, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to meet these seven nations, and here's the story with them. You gotta wipe them out, and you can't make a treaty with them, and Lo Sechaneim. So, right, there's a rub going on over here, and it's difficult because the Mishnah sounds like it's talking about all goyim, and meanwhile the Psukim in context is talking about the seven nations. Okay,
so you could say that metaphorim are allowed in terms of selling the metaphorim.
Good, but the prohibition, however, of Lo Sechaneim from our Mishnah and from our discussion the Gemara sounds like it's talking about every idolater, not just the seven nations. So look at Tosfos, where Tosfos discusses this issue. Darish nami mehakra b'samach shelo liten lahem chen, shelo liten lahem matnas chinam, ustama demilsa, mari bikule ovdei kochavim. So Tosfos makes the observation that we just made. It certainly sounds like the simple pshat over here is that we're talking about all ovdei kochavim, not just the seven nations. V'chein mashma b'sugyam b'samach. In fact, we're going to, again, as we go through the Gemara, keep this thought in mind because it's really one of the more critical questions and discussions throughout this whole issue of who are we talking about. And Tosfos is bothered because when you look at the Pesukim in context, in Chumash, it's clearly talking about the seven nations. Okay? So from this point forward, what Tosfos has to try to do is try to figure out how did our Mishnayos know that Lo Sechaneim is talking about all of the Kochavim? How do we arrive at that conclusion? And he cites Gemaras, multiple Gemaras, that limit these psukim to the seven nations. And again, even without the Gemara, just this, it's really Pshuto Shel Mikra that's talking about the seven nations. I'm sorry, V'chein Lo Sechai Kol Neshama. V'yesh Lomar. So here is one approach in Tosfos. Devada b'chol hanach kray ikat time a rabba de la matzina lukmin and ela b'zayin umos. Lo sechai kol nashama leka lukmi b'shar umos. Debehejik siba hu vayulucha lamas v'avaducha. So Tosfos says we're going to have to create some sort of base of logic in terms of why some of the prohibitions are talking about the seven nations, while others are talking universally, all idolaters. So for example, Tosfos says, Lo sechai kol neshama. Right? None of them should live. Okay? It's got, there, just by simple argument alone, it's got to be talking about seven nations. Can't be talking about the general Ovdei Kochavim population. Can't be. Right? And in fact, other psukim say, Vayula mas vavaducha. Right? The other nations are going to be subject to us. So, right, it's clearly, lo sechaya kol neshama. Right, that can't be to the other nations. The chen ki yasi l'rabbanan de lo darshi time of the cross, svaru hu luk mi b'sheva umos, de misirit fein. Right, intermarriage. Now, somewhat of a controversy, the Gemara has a machlokas, who you can't intermarry. Now, obviously, the accepted halacha is that you can't intermarry any non-Jew. Right, that's the accepted halacha. But there is a position in the Gemara that's limited only to the seven nations, right? The Chachamim's position. How does that work? So again, Tosos now has got to somehow explain why in that prohibition, again only according to the Chachamim, but why in that prohibition it's limited to the seven nations, so they are more connected to Avodah Zarah, and they're going to be more influential on their spouse. V'chein lo sizchatim leka le'ukme ela b'sheva umos. Right, this prohibition law says Shahare Kol Shar Umos Mutar Lava Bekal Begerusan Chutz Me'Alosam Shasar Kasov Mitzri Amoni Moavi. Right, and after they convert, right, the Torah goes out of its way to say you can't marry an Egyptian even after they convert, and you can't marry an Amoni Moavi after they convert. Sounds like from that with anyone else from any other nation, any other nationality, after they convert, it's mutter. So this Isser of Lo Sizchatim, even after they convert. Right? It's got to be talking about the seven nations. Okay. Ava matnas chinam munasinas chen vechania ein shum tam lechalak ben sharov de kocham lezayin amimim. But I can't conceive of a reason, says Tosfos, why I'm going to segregate the seven nations and all the other ovdei kochavim. I can't think of a reason. And so, because I can't think of a reason, there is no segregation. We're just simply going to say it applies to everybody. Okay, so right, so following what Tosfos is doing over here, right, and he's got to do it because that's what clearly comes, that's the conclusion that seems to come out, is that certain Yisurim mentioned over here are Zayin Amimim Yisurim. Certain Yisurim over here are more universal, more global Yisurim. And Tosfos says we're going to have to try to give some sort of Tam L'davar. We're going to try to have to support it with some rational explanation. And so that's what he is trying to do throughout this discussion. Okay, good. So just understand, appreciate that it's really some of the more basic issues of what applies to the seven nations and what applies globally to all the of the Kochavim.
It's either a question
of the Hovim.
Those are the particular idolatries that they were dealing with them. And it means all idolatry, we have different idolatries.
Right. Okay, back to the Gemara. We have a lot to do today. It's a good day today. Manas chinam gufa tanaihi, this matnas chinam. Can you give an idolater a gift? Subject to a machlokas tanaim detanya lo sochlu kol nevela. Okay, you have a nevela. An animal died without a shechita. You're not allowed to eat it. It's called a nevela. So what do you do with it? So the Torah tells us one of two things. L'ger asher b'sherecha titnena. You have a ger, a resident living in Israel, right? And he's a ger toshav. He's not a full ger. Right, he does not want to take upon 613 mitzvos. He simply says to you, I accept upon myself the seven Noachai laws. Now, the truth of the matter is, every non-Jew has to accept upon himself seven Noachai laws. But he says, look, I want to live in Israel. And he raises his right hand, I obviously am adding a little bit. And he says, I solemnly swear to accept upon myself the seven Noachai laws. And he's what's called a ger toshav. Okay, and as a ger toshav, so we have an obligation to help him, to support him. And so one of the ways to do so is to give him nevela. It's such a great solution. We're not allowed to eat it. We have an obligation to support him. Perfect. So we'll give him the nevela. The achla o machol anachri. The pasuk says, or another option is what you could do is you could sell it to a nachri. Right, sell it to a non-Jew. Okay, and nachri over here in the context of our discussion means some sort of idolater. Right, over the Avodah Zarah. So, ain li ala lager b'nesin aloi kocham v'mechir ala lager b'mechir minayin tamalomar titnena o machor la ove kocham v'nesin aminayin tamalomar titnena v'achla o machor la nachrin. Okay, you see what the Gemara is doing? Just basically adjusting the commas in the pasuk, so that the way we could read the pasuk, although this is not how you would read Pshuto Shel Mikra, the way you could read it is, if you have a ger, you could give it to him or sell it to him, right? And now we'll back up. You can give or sell it to a nachri. Okay. Divrei nimsa ta'omer echa ger echa lo v'kochavim beim b'mesina beim b'mechir divrei meir. So Meir's position is that really the Torah allows you either. You can either give or sell to a ger toshav, or you can give or sell to a nachri. That is Meir's position. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Dvam Kech Savam Lagir Menestin Olav Kochavim Bemechira, and Rabbi Yehuda says no. The pasuk is divided. Even when it comes to a ger, you give it to the ger. When it comes to a nachri and over a vodazara, you can only sell it to him. You can't gift it to him. So now we have just learned that this issue of whether or not you can matnas chinam, you can gift to the over the avodazara, is subject to a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir allows it, Rav Yehuda disallows it, he prohibits it. Now, the Gemara is going to spend just a little bit of time discussing this machlokes. Shapir Kamar, Rav Meir. Interestingly enough, the Gemara says, I like Rav Meir's position. The idea of adjusting the commas and reading the psukim, right, as in either direction, I like that. Rav Yehuda Amalecha, Isa Gadacha, Kedekamar, Rav Meir, Lechtov, Rechman, Etidnen, Vachla, Umechor. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, I would like Rabbi Meir if the Torah would have had the Vav as a conjunction. And the Torah would have said, Va'achla u'mechor, right? Either this or this. Oh, Lamali, but the Torah doesn't do that. The Torah puts in the words or, right, as a separate word. Shema minal dvarim kichsav amhuda asa. That tells me that the Torah here is being very specific. Instead of writing Vav as a conjunction with one letter, it writes it Aleph Vav as a single word. Torah is trying to tell me it's either this or this, not both. Either you gift it to a ger toshav, or you sell it to a nachri. One or the other. Rav Meir says, no, in my defense, you know why the Torah did that? Because the Torah is telling you what should be your first option. Your first option should be gifting it to the ger. If that's not available, then you have a second option of going to the nachri. Rav Yehuda came to ger atam etzuv l'achiyoso, k'nani atam etzuv l'achiyoso, l'haktim otzarech kra. And Rav Yehuda says, I don't need a pasuk here to tell me that. I already knew that piece of information. Okay, so we have over here a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir, matnas chinam, whether you can gift to a Obdei Avodah Zarah. And our Mishnah that says, right, I'm sorry, not the Mishnah, but rather, I'm sorry, the Braisa that says that you can't do it is really subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda.
Does that come up other places that the Aleph
means either or above? It does. I don't have readily available, but it does. Okay. Okay, now we're going to talk about complimenting. So far, every controversial topic in the book we've hit today. We've talked about selling them property in Israel. We talked about not giving them gifts for nothing in return. And now we're going to talk about paying a compliment to a Ovdei Avodah Zarah.
What is the halakha, by the way?
Like all three.
No, I'm saying in terms of between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir.
Rabbi Yehuda, Dvarim Kech Savam. Because, look, our Braisa supports it as well. Right? No gifting. By the way, when I say no gifting, in other words, for nothing in exchange. If you do get something in exchange for the gift, it's a transaction. Well, a gift is also a transaction. I'm saying, but it has to be something in return. You can't pay a compliment to a Ovdei Avodah Zarah. He actually talks about a female. Right? If you see a beautiful non-Jew, you can't say that's a beautiful non-Jew. Meisve, the Gemara's challenge is Meisve, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Shaya Agabi, Maila Bahar Abayis, V'ra'al Vedes Kochavim, Achas Na'a B'Yoser. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that he sees a beautiful non-Jew. And Amar, and his reaction is, Mavra Buma Sech Hashem. Wow, she's beautiful. And he's in the base of it is amazing. The next story is even more amazing, but this one's great. And he sees her and he says, wow. And but I mean, you know, doesn't tell her she's beautiful. It tells Hashem, God, you did good work with that one. Hey, that's excellent. And the Gemara tells another story with regarding Rabbi Akiva. She's the wife of Tornus Rufus, and Rak, Sachak, Ubacha. So he had three responses to seeing her. He spit, he laughed, and he cried. Rabbi Akiva is very emotional. I mean, there's a lot of things to say about Rabbi Akiva, but right, we always see him, the stories that we see him, not always, but the stories that we see with him always involve laughter and crying, and he's very emotional. Rak shahaisa ba'a mitipas rucha. So he spit because she comes from tipas rucha, meaning he thinks about her origination, like how was she fashioned? So, right, beginning of life, tipas rucha. Number two, sachak de asida de megayre v'nosivla. He laughs because of the irony. He knows she's going to convert and he's going to end up marrying her. Right? Kind of takes that whole story with him and Rachel and leaving for 24 years and coming back. And
what happened?
Second marriage. Okay. Bacha, the Hai Shufra Bali Afra. And he cries because he knows, as is the fate of all of us, they're going to end up rotten, deteriorating in the ground, and so much for the beauty. Okay. Now, okay, the Rabbi Akiva story obviously is also an unbelievable story. Gemara right now, just in the context of what of our discussion, Gemara's bothered. You just simply said that you're never allowed to pay a compliment to a Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And meanwhile, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, right, let's go back to him. So he saw a girl and he said, wow, Ma Rabu Masach Hashem.
But he was complimenting Hashem, not the...
I know. I hear that also. It's funny. I would have, right, if...
He's not complimenting directly at all. Nothing about her. Yeah,
right?
Right. Just
right.
Prayer when you see a beautiful human being.
Ah, the Rav, so the Gemara says exactly that, right? It wasn't to her. He wasn't paying her a compliment. He was being modal akash barchu. Damar mar haro brias tovus amar baruch shekacha barol abel lamo. That's what you do when you see something beautiful, right? He's not paying her a compliment. He's saying to Hashem, that's good work. Now, by the way, bottom tosis on the page haro brias tovus amar biyushami amar afilu gamelnae susnae chamornae amar baruch shekacha labo lamo. Right? We're talking about any creature. Right, could be human, could be animal. You see something beautiful, so you don't pay them a compliment, you pay God a compliment, right, in the form of a bracha. Okay, good. The other big issue on this discussion is, are you allowed to even look? Right? You're not allowed to look. The Gemara says, "Nishmat to be called davara." You gotta be careful. You gotta take good care of yourself. Spiritually, shelo yistakel adam yishana v'afilu penuya beisha v'afilu bepenuya beisha isha afilu mechueres.
That's a chiddush.
So you're not allowed to look. You're not allowed to stir up your yetzahara. So nishmartem called avara. So we're talking about Tanayim, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We're talking about Rabbi Akiva. I think the Gemara is a little more bothered by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but either way, but both of them, you're not allowed to look. So how do you ever get to the situation where you see a beautiful woman, right? Ma rabu masecha Hashem and baruch atah Hashem alkeinu melech haolam shekachalo ba'olamo. You're not allowed to look. So the Gemara answers. And even if you're surrounded by it, right? Opportunity for social commentary about the society that we live in, but hopefully everyone got the point. Even if you're surrounded by him, Amr Allah Amalcha Mavishakulo Malay Naim Vishas Malay Naim, and the Bryce says, and oh by the way, Malcha Mavis, he's Malay Naim, he's filled with eyes. Right? Well beyond the scope of my understanding, but right, Bryce uses this opportunity to discuss Mishas Peter Shosh Shachola Omin Me'amirash Yosef Echarba Shulfa B'yado V'tipa Shamara Tlu Yabo. And the Malach HaMavis, as long as we talked about him, the Bryce says that when a person's sick, the Malach HaMavis is standing right over his head and he has a sword and he has a drop of Mara. And when the Chola finally sees the Malach HaMavis, Ro'o Osam Izdazeo Pasech Piv, the Chola opens his mouth, V'zorko L'soch Piv, and drops the mara in his mouth, mimenu mason, that's how the person dies. Mimenu masriach, and that is how the person deteriorates. Mimenu panav marikos, Karen, I'm sorry, panav marikos, and his face becomes yellow, and it, okay. Anyway, ad kan divrei habraisa, I know the end of the braisa is haunting and scary, but in the context of the Gemara is bringing all this. How did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel see the girl? How was he allowed to look at the girl? So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Karen Zavai Havai. Yeah, he didn't see it coming. Right? In other words, he's walking on one end of the building and she's walking from the other side of the building. And they hit the corner and, you know, and oh, oops, and he sees her. He wasn't intending to see her, but he saw her. But and as long as you're seeing her and as long as you're seeing how beautiful she is, so now use it as an opportunity to say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Marabu Masech Hashem, and make a bracha. But to go out of your way to go see it, that's absolutely out of the question. That's not it. That's not up for discussion. But the Karen Zavis, under those circumstances, it would be okay.
I sit down by the rabbi. We're going to give the head in the wall with his head down in the street. Never, so this way will never happen, even in the corner.
Yeah.
We'll never look at it.
I mean, the Gemara makes it very exceedingly clear. You have to be careful. Okay, lovely big day, Kteva Shalisha. Now we're going to go off a little bit on a tangent now, but it's understandable. We quoted a braisa that talked about things that you're not allowed to look at. You're not allowed to look at clothing of women. Right? That's one of the things mentioned in the braisa. I'm Rav Yehuda Mashmo, Afilu Shetuchan Al Gabi Kosta. Even if she's not wearing it. Right? You're not allowed to look. I'm Rav Papa Uvimakir Baalehem. You have to know who the clothing belonged to. Meaning just to see clothing, women's clothing by itself, that in of itself is not prohibited. If you know how to attach and associate that clothing to the owner of the clothing, then it's going to be prohibited because then your imagination will work very well. Makes a diuk. Because the braisa says, big day seva shel isha. Or, right? Or whatever. The girsa, correct girsa seems to be shel isha. The braisa could have just simply said clothing. It doesn't say that. It says clothing of a woman. So it sounds like you have to, in order for it to be prohibited, you have to know the owner of that clothing. That's only if she's worn it already. But if she hasn't worn it already, so then leifan ba, they're totally new. So the Gemara says, look, new clothing. Apparently back then, the minhag was that by new clothing, the first thing that you did is you give it to the launder. And how can the launderer do it? The Gemara says, "Latamech, Hadam Rav Yehuda min b'mino mutal lahachnis kemachol b'shavaras hakem estakel." So the Gemara says, "That's not such an argument. What do you mean? How could you wash women's clothing? There's another thing that's allowed. You're allowed to mate animals, right? And even if it's the manipulation of the male and female animal, right? Assuming that there are the species are the same, if you're not allowed to mate." Unlike animals, assuming the species are saying you're allowed to mate animals one to another. And right, the Braisa says very clearly, not a Braisa, I'm sorry, it's Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says very clearly, right? Even insertion of the male into the female, you're allowed to do that. The Gemara says, no, if that's your job, and you are right now focused on doing your job, that's your job, that's okay. If you're a launderer and your job is to clean clothing, that's your job and that's okay. We're talking about when you don't have a specific job in mind and you're just looking for nothing more than just to incite your Yetzara, that's not okay. Another thing mentioned in the Braisa is how you die. So the Braisa describes this picture of the Malach HaMavet standing over your head, drops the Mara into your mouth, and you die from the Mara. So the Gemara says, it seems like that goes against Avod Dishmol, Dami Avod Dishmol, Amrili Malach HaMavis, Yilov Dechayshin, Liyakar Debriyasa, Hava Parana Beis HaShchita Kebehema. Malach HaMavis says, you know what I really would love to have done? I would love to have opened up the Beis HaShchita, the neck, like an animal. And I don't do that because of the honor that I have for creatures, for creations. But I would like to do that. So the Gemara says, okay, but there's no contradiction. Dilma, ha'itipa mechatecha lulisimanim. Okay, so that no stira. Maybe that's exactly what happens. That this mara goes into the mouth and goes into the simanim, the trachea, the esophagus, and burns it from the inside. Maybe that's what happens. Right? The Braisa here gives a description of how the Mara goes in and it deteriorates the body. The body decomposes as a result of the Mara. And in fact, if you were to turn it over, you could inhibit decomposition. Now, it happens to be, just because I know, we never turn the body over, right? Never. The minhag Yisrael is never to turn the body over. But in theory, if you did, you could prevent decomposition. But the minhag Yisrael is never to turn the body over. Always keep the body on the back. Okay. We did talk about making sure you're careful about what you watch, what you see. V'nishmatim called avara. So here the Gemara quotes a Braisa. You should not think about any type of lewd thoughts during the day, which leads to tumah at night. Mikan Amar Pinchas ben Yair Torah. And here we quote the statement of Rav Pinchas ben Yair. Okay, this Braisa over here, the Gemara is about to quote, which comes up a couple places throughout Shas, comes up in Sota, the end of Sota, and right, obviously not for now in the remaining minutes that we have left today. But you know, watch carefully. Compare our Braisa here in Avodah Zarah to the one in Sota. There are subtle differences between how this Braisa is presented. But this Braisa, which is basically a spiritual building block. Right, you know, start with this midah, then work on this midah, and then go to, and it leads you to this midah, and eventually, right over here, it gets you to Ruach HaKodesh, gets you to Chiyas HaMesim. Anyway, so it's all building blocks. So this is obviously the basis for the work Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim, written by the Ramchal of Moshe Chaim Lutzato. So the Vilna Gaon, who lived about 100 years after the Ramchal. The Vilna Gaon said that if I would have lived in the same generation of the Ramchal, I would have gone down on my hands and knees and I would have crawled to learn by the Ramchal. So the Gemara here quotes, Amar Pinchas ben Yair Torah mevili de Zihirus. Torah leads to Zihirus, Zihirus. Rashi over here gives short definitions for all these things. Again, you want to see much more about what these midas are and how to attain them. So Mesilas Yesharim, that's your next stop. Zihirus mevili de Zrizus. Zrizus alacrity, Zrizus mevili de Nikias. Nikias simply translates cleanliness. Rashi over here says Niki be'in chet, cleanliness meaning free of sin. Nikias mevili de precious. Precious, Rashi says, things that are even permissible to you. Precious mevili de tahara. Tahara is even further levels of purity. Tahara mevili de, again, girsas over here become an issue. We have in our Gemara Chasidus on the side Kedusha. Okay. Kedusha lead mevili de anava, anava mevili de yereschet, fear of sin. Obviously, this is some sort of extra level of fear of sin, not the most basic level of fear of sin. Yereschet mevili de Chasidus, right, according to the correct girsa. Chasidus mevili de ruach hakosh, ruach hakosh mevili de tchias amesim. Fine. The Chasidus gedula mikulan. The highest level is Chasidus. As dibarta bechazon lechasidecha. Whether or not Chasidus is the highest level is subject to a machlokes upligi de Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, damer of Yeshua ben Levi, anava gedola mikulan shenema ruach Hashem lokim ala ya'an, mashach Hashem osila vaser, anavim, anavim. I will inform the anavim. Chasidim lo ne'amar el anavim, halamata shanava gedola mikulan. So what is the highest level? Chasidus or anivus? Subject to a machlokus, what is the difference between the two? Subject for a much longer discussion than what we could do over here. Okay, we'll stop over here at the two dots tomorrow. We'll finish up our discussion. Rabbi Hananya, Menachem, Matzah, Kosh, Baruch, Lezak, Yisrael, Afiach, Achir, Ben, Tarmitz, Shanem, Anach, Hafiz, Samantzi, Ko, Yagdil, Tu, Rabbi Adir.